Let me just begin by saying how humbled and honored I am to be here this morning, present to you the Word of God, and to say thank you to Judy for that beautiful soul. That's one of my favorite songs of all. It always speaks volumes whenever I hear it to my heart. What a beautiful passage of Scripture that was just read. It's an Old Testament passage. Sometimes we spend a lot of time in the New Testament. Sometimes we overlook the Old Testament and that wonderful Word that God has for us in it. But this is a particularly vivid picture that God has drawn to us. Now, as it was read, if you'd have read from the beginning, verse 1 all the way through verse 50, you'd have noted that this grumbling wasn't the first thing that ever happened. It was the second one that took place, and that the earth had opened up and swallowed all the others before them, and then these other people decided to grumble again, complaining, always complaining, and arguing, and just showing fault in the leadership that God had put before them. And I think that I would have learned a lesson after seeing all those from Korah and the people that followed them be swallowed up by the ground. I think I'd have taken a lesson from that and repented and turned back to the Lord. But these people did not. They chose to rumble and grumble, and a plague came, and outstandingly, the Bible says that it killed over 14,700 people. Aaron ran to intercede on their behalf. And what a vivid picture I get when I read those words. Aaron stood between the living and the dead. Now just ponder that thought for just a second. Picture it, if you will, in your mind. Standing between the living and the dead. Would you bow your heads with me in a word of prayer? Gracious God, again, we just come before you humbly this morning on this, the Lord's Day. We ask you afresh and new this morning, Lord, that you would just come and visit us in this gathering. Be present in our midst. Move among us freely as you choose. Tug at our hearts. And Father, may we respond as you would have us to respond. Father, I personally once again hide myself behind the cross of Jesus. That the voice that is heard from this moment on would not be my own, but that of Jesus Christ. The one that we long to hear from and to listen to. Father, I pray you bless this word that we bring, to bring honor and glory to your name above all things, and that our hearts and lives will be turned closer to you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, we read these words. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given to you. Now, if I was to think any better than that, I think it was written for this day in which we live in today. I mean, it's astonishing what's going on in the world around us, but it shouldn't be surprising to us because God warned us that the time would come like this. And we see that within the book of Timothy, that warning again. That there would come a time like this. A survey was conducted to determine the 10 most trashiest city in Ohio. I don't know if you remember reading that or seeing that. It was in the paper here some time ago. It was determined these cities in Ohio, there was 10 of them that made the top 10 list. Using public available government data as well as Google Maps, they were able to collect the data on the following trash metrics. Cities where residents are poorer than average. City where a high number of residents are high school dropouts. Cities with large numbers of methadone clinics. High drug use. Higher than ever payday loan outlets. Cities with high numbers of residents on welfare. These are the 10 cities in Ohio that made this list. Using the government census, they come up with this list and FBI data and such. These are the cities: Chillicothe, Dayton, Canton, Portsmouth, Zanesville, Middletown, Marion, Washington Courthouse, Springfield, and number 10, Lima. That startled me. My wife and I retired back in 2015 from ministry in the Salvation Army after 28 years of service. Took an early retirement because of my health and situations that were involved. They were gracious enough to allow me to do so. And we came back to Lima because this was our roots. My wife was born and raised here in Lima. I grew up here in Lima as a boy. We married, had three girls. Two of our girls were born here in Lima, so this was a natural draw back to us. We came back knowing the situation here, but in prayer and faith and believing that God had sent us back for a purpose and a reason. Lima's Ohio source, according to Wikipedia, it says the population here is 37,904. Now, this is back in 2017. Estimated white trash population, is, by their quotes, is 6,204. Estimated meth heads, 1,497. Welfare population, 17%. Maybe we are number 10 on that list. The answer to all this is found in no other than that of Jesus Christ. For the scriptures tell us that Jesus is the only means for salvation. Folks, I'm here to tell you, our city needs us. They need us now more than ever. The Lima newspaper on August 1st of 2017, an article entitled Churches Team Up to Engage Community in Revive Ohio. Remember that? You probably took part of that, as many of us did. We prayed and we believed and we intervened and we trusted the Lord. And then we also have outreaches of each year. We come together for just recently the National Day of Prayer and other such events as that. But I have to ask you, in all honesty, what difference have we made? Look at our community, those around us. What difference have we made? Now, don't misunderstand me. I do not devalue the importance and the power of prayer. I am a result of prayer. My life has been transformed because people prayed for me, and I came to know Jesus Christ as a result of that. I believe in prayer. I really do. But I think there comes a time when there has to be some action followed behind the prayers. Whatever came about all of these observances, what difference have we made? Several years ago, a man and his family went to visit New York City for the very first time in their lives. They took up a motel room that overlooked in the midst of the city, and they went and they toured all day and came back home and happened to look out the window, happened to see a mother with a little girl standing in a street corner. And the mother bent over and said something to the little girl. The little girl sat down and the mother walked away. The man assumed that the mother was just going to go run a quick errand and would be right back for the child, and he stood and he watched and he watched. And a few minutes passed by and the mother had not returned. He continued to watch, and out of curiosity, wondering what was going on, and hours passed. The child still sat at the curb just like she was instructed to do so, and the mother never returned. Finally, toward the end of the day, the police shows up and picks up the child and transports it away. Later on that night, after he put his children to bed, his wife went on the bed, he says, I need to stay up for a little longer. I gotta pray. He went to a chair in the living room part of the apartment, and he knelt and he prayed. And he was angry. And he began to yell at God, how could you let such a thing like this take place? How in the world could you let this little child be deserted and left all alone? We don't know what's going to happen to her, Lord. Why didn't you do anything? He was so upset and angry with God, and he finally got to a point where he just broke down in tears and just began to just weep over the lost child. And in the midst of that crying and weeping, God began to speak to his heart. And he heard clearly the voice of God saying to him, and when he finished saying, God, why didn't you do something? God said, I did. I did do something. I created you. I created you. See, someone asked me once if I believed in the last minute salvation. really do. Not only do I see that in proof of the cross, the crucifixion, where Jesus was hung on the cross between two thieves, and the one thief was promised that he would be in eternity with Christ when he died, but also within my own life, that I was lost in some spiral, quick trip down hell, and the next minute, I was saved, forgiven, and on the highway to heaven. God can and does bring salvation to us as we cry to him. See, there is power in the prayer of God's people. But sometimes it causes us that we must act. As a young captain in the Salvation Army, while stationed in Marion, Ohio with my wife and three girls in the fall of 1998, the Lord gave me a vision or a dream that I had. He showed me that there would come a time in my life when I would be standing before a large congregation overflowing the sanctuary with people. They filled the sanctuary from the front and back. Chairs were brought in. People were standing as much as they could in the back. They filled the outside hallways, and they were even looking through the windows trying to kind of be a part of that. And in this vision, I saw where, after taking part in the preaching the message, that many came forward for prayer, and as they received prayer, I saw people being saved. I saw people being healed physically. I saw those who were on crutches or wheelchairs standing on their own feet and walking on their two feet completely healed. I even witnessed the mute speaking and the deaf hearing. God was doing a mighty work in our midst, and I stood in awe as I saw that in my vision and dream. And I began to seek God, you know, when would this come? Mindful that it was in 1988 when this took place. Well, we're now in 2019. And I have to admit to you, I haven't seen anything like that yet. But my heart still longs for that opportunity. Not because I want to be in the limelight of things, but because I want to be used by God in a way that makes a difference in people's lives. That I can see people transformed by the power of God. That I can see people hungry for the Word of God and thirsty for a movement of God. I want to see God work in miraculous ways. I believe we're in the end times. I really do. I believe it's somewhat so I quit looking for signs and I'm listening for the trumpet to blow. It's that close. I believe it's on my heart. And there are so many in our community and in our neighborhoods who need Jesus more than anything else. And I have to ask myself, what are we doing about it? You know, sometimes we feel so helpless and inadequate that God would even choose to work through us. And yet Jesus himself, recorded in John 14, said these words, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to the Father. I'm going to the Father." All the years that followed, I've been waiting to experience this to take place, but it hasn't happened yet. But I believe that this vision is about to happen soon. I really do. And it is my sincere prayer that you as a congregation would yearn to be a part of that as well. That you could be used by God in these last days to bring a change in our community and the lives of our neighbors. There's a little chorus I learned when I was a little boy in the Salvation Army, but I think it speaks volumes even to us today. And I won't dare to sing it because I don't have much of a singing voice anymore. I had surgery done on my throat, on my neck, and they kind of clipped my vocal cord a little bit. Not that I could sing that well before, but now I sing worse than I ever did. The chorus goes like this. God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song with healing in their hands. Everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. And in this army, I got a part. Now, when I learned that chorus, I don't believe that it was written just for the Salvation Army. I believe that they're talking about a much greater army, the army of God. God's people joined together to make a difference. Jesus, recorded in Luke chapter 4, went into the synagogue and walked forward and grabbed hold of the Torah and he opened it up and he found the page where it's written. The Bible says in Luke 4, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And all the eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scriptures you have heard have been fulfilled this very day. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, we read in Matthew, the 28th chapter. His disciples were gathered on the Mount of Galilee. They were witnessing his ascension. And he says to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, he says to the disciples, go do something. Go make a difference. The disciples did just as Jesus instructed them to do. They did something. And the world was transformed as a result of it. Martin Luther King Jr. felt such a burden for unity and equality in this world that he did something, and he made a difference. Mother Teresa saw the poor and suffering in Calcutta and couldn't just stand back and pray and do nothing. She did something. And I ask you this morning, what are you prepared to do for the Lord? James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Do something. I challenge you this morning to stand between the living and the dead for Jesus and make a difference. May it be so.